There you go. There's Ronnie Coleman for you. Still alive, 61 years old.
Is he still performing like that at 61?
No. Everybody want to be a bodybuilder, but ain't nobody want to lift this heavy ass weight. Yeah, buddy.
Did you see, speaking of bodybuilders, Jim Irsay doing all those bodybuilding contests and things back in the day?
Sure.
Squat like 525 and everything. Like, R.I.P. Man, 65 years old, so young.
Has there been any announcement of cause of death yet?
I have not seen anything, no. They said he died peacefully in his sleep.
Ah.
I'm sure we'll know. I'm sure we'll get reports, you know, as the time goes on.
Quarter of a century through the 2000s.
Can you believe that already? Like the first century, 25 years into this thing already. I mean, I remember 2000 like it was yesterday. And it's just like it's gone. Like
I was
in
seventh grade.
Boy. Yep. I was in 17th grade.
There you go.
Yeah.
I was in seventh grade. I didn't have the opportunity to turn the location off on my phone. My mom just knew where
I was. Knew where you were the whole time, right?
If I was in the era of the leash, definitely would have been leashed. I promise you that. Get over here.
Did you get put on a leash as a kid?
No, I was way past that era.
Okay, because Josh's sister was always put on a leash, and he still makes fun of her today, and they're in their 60s.
No, I didn't. So I didn't, and I know we're getting off topic here because we'll get into our all quarter century team for the Royals. It should be pretty self-explanatory of who everybody. I think we'll have similar lists.
I think there'll be some differences as well.
I worked at the Mall at Champs, and I didn't believe the stories of my GM at the time. His name, coincidentally, was Ralph.
Mm-hmm.
Ralph Massoni. Shout out to him. I think he's in Austin now. Great manager.
Worked his way up, huh?
Yeah. So we were there, and he was like, man, have you seen this at the mall lately? They're like, kids are on leashes. And I was like, no, they're not. And he's like, no, I'm dead serious. I am not kidding. Almost 10 minutes later, a kid walked into Champs on a leash.
It always happens that way. When you say, like,
I just literally was so, I was just like, it's a teddy bear backpack, but it comes with like, oh my God.
Because kids are hiding in those clothes racks. At least that's what we used to do back in the day. You can never find kids. My sister was always missing. We should have left her. But I kid, unless I'm not. But sometimes you got to do it because they're just runners, man. You just got to kind of leash them up and, you know, do your thing with them. But whatever. It is what it is, right?
No doubt. So since 2000 to now.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure we'll get a well actually text that the century doesn't start till technically 2001.
It
just depends, like, whoever, but we're going 2000. That's the way it works. Yeah. I mean, we're not, you know, 2000 is not in the 1900s. It's not.
Right.
It's clear the number's 2000. So we'll go there.
So I'll start Moose.
Okay.
Bobby.
Yeah.
Zobrist. Does he count?
Well, I have him as my second baseman.
That's where I was,
because and that's what I want to talk about because he was here for 60 games.
And the championship.
I know.
Big part of it, too.
And a reason why, maybe the ultimate reason why that tied that whole thing together, you won that championship. I think they'll all tell you to their grave they don't win in 2015 if they don't have Ben Zobrist on this roster.
Huh.
I don't know if the same can be said about Johnny Cueto in 2015 because he only had two really good postseason performances. But, hey, that was still two. He got you that Game 5 win over Houston, and then there was one in the World Series. But Zobrist, it's an interesting one, Dusty, because I'm with you. He is the best second baseman that we've had in the last 25 years here in Kansas City.
If not him, then who?
That's where I don't know what the answer to that question
probably
is. Fabulous?
It's probably Witt. I mean, Witt was good for like 4 years.
Merrifield,
I mean, that's probably your next answer.
Yeah.
Unless you want to vote Omar.
Yeah. I was going to say Infante, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Or Chris Getz.
Getz,
loser. Too bad it's too late for Mark Grzelcyk.
Yeah. Met his wife at spring training last year, and she was like, yeah, I'll come on your show and, you know, do all that kind of stuff. Grud.
Mark Grzelcyk looks like Gary Allen. The guy that sings watching airplanes.
That's such a random song, and I kind of like that song a lot. You know, quietly like that song. Sitting out here watching airplanes. I don't know.
Take off and fly. It's a sad song, actually.
Oh, is it?
It's about losing your lady.
Take off and fly.
So second base, I'll go Zobrist. So I went Moose, Bobby, Zobrist. First base, I will go Haas.
Yep.
My DH will be Sweeney.
That's what I have, too.
My catcher is Sal.
Mm-hmm.
My outfield, the year 2000.
Oh, you're going with all those guys.
I'm going to miss
out. Damon Dye and Beltran,
yes. I mean, year 2000, Johnny Damon, 327. Jermaine Dye, 321. Carlos Beltran, 247. But Jermaine Dye had 33 home runs that year, 118 RBIs, never to be seen again in a Royal uniform.
People don't realize how good that outfield was. And you know,
it's on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
It was, yeah. See,
they're all three there.
I go with Gordon, Kane, and Beltran because Gordon is the best left fielder I ever did see. Kane is just smooth as butter in center field. And Carlos Beltran is still probably the greatest baseball player that I've seen in Kansas City to this point. Obviously, Bobby Caggs, there's other guys that can have a say in it, but watching Carlos Beltran play every day like I did for 5 years or whatever it was just a spectacular gift to see that guy play center field. He was awesome. What were we talking about?
The
2000 team, right? Mm. And so that year happens where they hit the snot out of the ball. They were really, because Sweeney was really good that year, Dye, Damon, Beltran, all really good that year. They just couldn't close out games. It was Ricky Blotalico coming in from the bullpen, pouring gasoline on everything. Ipso facto, offseason comes. We need a closer. We need to trade Roberto Hernandez for Roberto Hernandez. Johnny Damon becomes the piece in that trade. You get Roberto Hernandez because you weren't going to sign Johnny Damon. You got your closer. Now you're not scoring any runs. And, you know.
Yeah, Johnny went to Oakland.
Robbing Peter to pay Paul, essentially.
Yeah, Greg Zahn was your catcher that year, hit 274. Mike Sweeney hit 333.
Sweeney's one of the best bats that this franchise has ever seen.
One of the best humans you'll ever meet.
Well, yeah. I don't know if he's one of. I think he is the best, and I'm not saying that just because I love the guy. I've never seen him be nasty, mean, or rotten anybody.
Except one guy.
Well, one guy, Jeff Weaver.
But he had it coming, man.
She had it coming, yeah.
Yeah, you don't say something about somebody else's mother. Joe Randa that year hit 304.
Yeah.
Ray Sanchez hit 273.
Ray Sanchez had a hell of a year. Yeah. He was a good little player here in Kansas City. And then Boris tried to, I'm going to get this guy a lot of money. And so he didn't end up signing here. And I think he ended up signing like a one-year, $4 million deal with the Mets or something like that.
What a terrible rotation.
Oh, the rotation. I don't even. Pitsley, was he in that one? And who else was in that?
Well, you had Dan Reichert, Blake Stein.
Miguel, he was part Batista, of that trade.
Jeff Supon, Jay Watosik, Max Suzuki. M-A-C, yeah. Mac. And then, yeah, Blotalico was there.
Max Alford.
And then you had guys on your bench named Jeff Rubelet, who played second.
Yeah.
Todd Dunwoody.
Don't remember.
Jorge Fabregas.
Oh, I remember George Fabregas, yeah.
Yep. Scott Pose, Brown.
D Brown. That's Dermal. Right. Dermal Brown, ladies and gentlemen. I believe Dermal is the one who fell over a drain pipe in Oakland and ended up helping the Royals to like their 21st consecutive loss that year. Dermal Brown. Ken Harvey didn't make an appearance on that.
No. But I did see somebody in baseball suing the Reds because of the tarp.
Yeah, it's great.
It's like,
well, they
sued.
Didn't put the cover on. The guy got cut and could never play again.
Yeah. Isn't that what happened? Was it Reggie Bush that was suing the Rams because he stepped on like the first base?
Yeah, the first flag.
The first down marker.
Yeah, the first down flag.
And he missed out on a sentence and sued the Rams.
Yeah.
Like, well,
yeah.
Somebody's got a really good lawyer. Hey, man, remember that year you were out? Check this.
Yeah, Ruff is the guy's name. Darren Ruff suffered an injury in Cincinnati where they didn't have the tarp covered properly, so he's suing them for negligence.
Mm. Yeah, good for you, man.
I hope he wins, man. Maybe he can own the team and make them a winner.
Honey, how are we going to pay this mortgage? Give me 3 months, and they'll tell me to hush up, and they'll just we'll get it taken care of.
We'll get a nice check.
Right. Oh, man. So any differences? I mean, obviously you're.
Greinke's my starter. If I have one game to win over the last 25 years, I'm starting Zach Greinke.
Probably. Yeah. That 09 Cy Young year was great.
Yeah. Right. Like, who else would you potentially have on that list? You have one game to win in the last 25 years for the Royals. You gotta go Zach Greinke.
I know
Greinke.
He wasn't here that long, but for some reason James Shields did it.
That was the next guy that I would potentially put out there, but then he took himself out of the wild card game because he was tired, and your nickname was Big Game.
Well, I mean, I'm fine with that because Matt Harvey didn't take himself out of the game, and they lost the World Series, and Matt Harvey was never the same.
You're right. He never recovered.
He said, let me go back out
there,
Collins.
Neither did James Shields, really. I mean, he went to the Padres and then traded to the White Sox, never to be heard from again.
Yeah, and he was, traded from the – that was the Tatis trade.
Was Shields. He part of that trade? Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
He was. You're right, yeah.
Yeah, Tatis was in the White Sox organization, traded for James Shields. Yeah. I think so. I'm pretty sure that's
it. I told Getz recently, I said, that was a bad trade. You guys need to recover from that one. Like, I wasn't here for that trade. I'm like, well, you got to make up for it.
Yeah, either way.
Where does Reagan's fall on that list?
I need a little more.
Yeah.
More.
He's kind of taken a step back a little bit this year, you know?
That's what I figured.
Yeah. I mean, he's injured, but I mean, he's fine. I mean, if he finishes this year like he pitched last year, he's in that conversation as two, not three.
I mean, I think you were all taking Lugo probably at this point in time, right? You have one game to win this year. Who's starting for you? Is it Lugo?
Cole Reagans.
Might be Bubic.
Maybe Bubic. I mean, dude, this year alone, yeah.
If we're just talking this year,
yeah,
he's money. 816 says when Cueto was on, he was nasty.
But he wasn't. That's the thing. Like, he wasn't on like we wanted him to be on. He was terrible during the regular season. And I remember sitting there with Dayton on the air from that when they opened that to Crafton draft towards the end, as the postseason push was going on, and we're like, are you worried about Cueto? And Dayton goes, yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I didn't want to hear that. And then he went in the playoffs, had two really good starts, as we've talked about on there. But I don't think, I really just don't think anybody else holds Greinke's water.
He hosed down those Blue Jays, man.
He did.
That was one of the most epic nights of my life. Him doing that, and then Ventura game two when he pitched that lights out matchup in the World Series, or game six and 14.
Game six and 14.
Yeah,
was,
I was like, oh, God, we got this. Yeah, that was, oh, baby, we go to World Series again. Oh, baby. RIP, Mr. Yo. Coming up on the other side, we get to Rivalry Weekend. What it is, why it is, in the NFL, could it be? Here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Vinny Pasquantino, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Along on a Friday here on Fesco and Dusty, 96.5 The Fan. Mac Morey with us as well. MLB just got done with Rivalry Weekend that nobody knew about?
Yeah, they did, though. It was a great success. Best television ratings and attendance in decades, they said, for Rivalry Weekend. So, yeah, over a million people went in. Highest pre-Memorial Day crowd since like 2018, highest Sunday night baseball rating since like 2018 or something like that. So no, everybody knew about it. It was great. It hit. It was a good deal for Major League Baseball.
Yeah, Sunday night the Yankees and Mets lost. The ratings were to Saturday? No, yeah, Saturday's Caitlin Clark Angel Reese game.
Yeah, 100,000 more people watched that than they did. Now, what channel was that Angel Reese game on? Was that on ESPN as well? So same network and whatnot. So Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark taking over. Caitlin Clark's taking over, not Angel Reese. Let's not confuse things here. We're watching for Caitlin Clark. Okay?
Did you see Miss Reese's stat line last night?
No, did she miss like 18 shots?
It's 2 points. 0 for 8 from the field.
Oh, boy.
And I think like 12 rebounds.
Boy.
I just saw a clip of
her. She's not a good player.
No, I saw a clip of her getting her own rebound 4 different times, and she got blocked on 3 of them.
That's okay.
Oh, wow.
One sequence. Yeah.
Oh, one sequence.
Getting a rebound block. It's like, kick it out, dude. Pass it out.
Well, but I mean, that would be somebody else would do something good, right?
Exactly.
But that's why Caitlin Clark is the best at what she does, because the Fever won last night. I can't believe we're talking about this and that we all know this, but that's where Caitlin Clark has taken this game, which is awesome. The Fever won last night. Caitlin Clark did not hit one three-point shot.
Wow.
Not one three-point shot in that game last night, and they still won because that's a team.
Exactly.
She's kicking it out, not getting the stuff blocked in her face like Angel Reese. I can't get over to where we are with this conversation already in the WNBA season. Angel Reese is not a very good basketball player. Caitlin Clark is the best we've ever seen. That's the comparison. That's there's nothing else. That's it.
I actually watched a lot of that game last night because I had money on the line with Caitlin Clark.
Yeah,
0-3s. I had it over 4.5 or 3.5.
Liking Paige down in Dallas too. Did you see the television rating she's putting up? Paige Beckers, huge numbers for her as well.
She's incredible.
She is the number two.
Yes, exactly.
In this league, she's a great player. She was the number one pick. I mean, perfect kind of foil for Caitlin Clark and whatnot. And so people are falling in love with her already, and she's performing on the floor. If Angel Reese actually was a good player, then this would be a fun conversation. It's a nice rivalry, probably the best individual rivalry in sports. But I mean, it's like the 2002 Royals trying to beat up on the 2015 Royals. Yes. Like, it's just a bad matchup.
So if they did that one weekend of a year in the NFL, Would that be Kansas City, Buffalo, Sunday at 3:25 is rivalry weekend?
I think if the NFL had their way, that's our rival, Buffalo, right? Mm-hmm. Is anybody going to argue that? If the NFL had their way and they did rivalry weekend, it would be Chiefs and Buffalo, because I do think that is the, how do I say this, the national rivalry for the Chiefs right now is Buffalo. I think there are two ways to look at rivalries. There's the generational rivalries, and then there's the in-the-moment rivalries. And I think, and I'll just use from an Andy Reid perspective, since Andy Reid has been here and came in 2013 as the coach of this team, I think we've always had the Raiders and the Broncos as the true rivals to the Kansas City Chiefs. Those are generational rivalries. Whether you're in your 20s like Mac, 30s like Dusty's, 40s like me, the Raiders and the Broncos are always going to be those teams that are just going to be your rivals because they have been. That's a generational rivalry. Mm-hmm. Then you have the in-the-moment rivalries. To me, when Andy Reid took over, we wanted to be Pittsburgh and New England. Those are the two teams ahead of us. Got to be Pittsburgh, got to be New England. Then as Bill Belichick started to date Jordan and things went south in New England back in 2019, they kind of fell off. They were no longer a rival to the Chiefs. And I think you can say the same thing about Pittsburgh. Once Big Ben left and that kind of went a little bit to the south, if you will, they're not necessarily that rival to the Chiefs because we've surpassed those two programs. Now the new in-the-moment rivalries are the Bengals because their fans suck and the Buffalo Bills because they're really good. And I think Baltimore's kind of a rivalry as yeah. well. So you've got those in-the-moment rivalries versus generational rivalries. And I think the NFL, if they were picking rivalry weekend, I personally believe, and I could be totally wrong about this, I think they would pick a rivalry that is an in-the-moment rivalry, and that's why I think for rivalry weekend, we'd see Mahomes versus Josh Allen. That's what a rivalry is all about, right? I wish there was like, you know, some pee and vinegar between the two guys like there is between Reese and Clark, because that's how a rivalry, like if you're two really good players like Allen and Mahomes are and then hate each other, that makes it even better. But I think the league would say, if this is rivalry weekend, they would say Buffalo is our rival in this one.
The only problem with that, now obviously we've been fortunate enough that they have won their division the same amount of, not the same amount of times, but they're winning their division the same as the Chiefs are yeah. with this current era in their franchises. But there's a chance that game just wouldn't happen. Whereas like baseball, everybody plays everybody now. Mm-hmm. So they're able to do this, right? Because the Cardinals aren't in the Royals division, but they're considered their rival because right. same states, you know, two different teams.
Yeah. Now, football can fix that too with this week 18 sure. that's coming up. You could take an entire weekend and just make it a rivalry weekend, like the last September maybe of every football mm-hmm. season is that rivalry
That'd
weekend.
Be fun.
So you know you're always going to have a rivalry type of game. And whether it's a division game, depending on who the team is, or if it's Buffalo, if it's Cincinnati, like it worked so good in baseball. Like people are like, oh my God, I can't believe how awesome it was for Major League Baseball to have these rivalry series and games. We had 90,000 at the K this past weekend because it was the Cardinals.
Actually, it was 89,000.
And change. Yeah. I'm rounding up. but
the thing is, though, is that do you think, trying to figure this out, if I
and
can
then
make
that's
this
another
make
package
sense.
You can sell to some other streaming network that yeah, you get. Yeah. Netflix gets rivalry weekend in the NFL.
Yeah, just don't name it rivalry package or you might have somebody download the wrong thing.
Yes.
I will say this. Do you think that, because let's just start picking apart.
Yeah.
Are the Chiefs in Buffalo bigger rivals than any team in their division is a rival?
Yes. Like,
do you think Chiefs and Buffalo are more rival than Chiefs and Broncos or Buffalo, New England?
Yes, but I yes.
Because I don't.
I do because Buffalo is in our way. The Raiders and Bills, or not Bills, but the Raiders and Broncos and that other team in the division, they've not been in our way at all. Buffalo and Cincinnati have been in our way, and that's how I view the rivalries, right? The teams that are kind of in your way, that are challenging you, that you're going toe-to-toe with, that you're trying to beat to be on top, the Raiders and Broncos haven't been those teams. Now, maybe they become those teams again, and that would be fun, but as of right now, they haven't become those teams. They're not those teams, so that's why I look at the Bills and the Bengals and the Ravens more as a rival than I do what's going on in the West, because those schlebs haven't done anything.
But to piggyback on what you said, where you want piss and vinegar between Mahomes and Allen, mm-hmm. you have all of that in your division, right? You have Oakland stomping on the field, beating you on Christmas Day, also taking a bus around your stadium.
Yeah, but how many of those people are still around? I don't think anybody's on that Raider team from those moments.
But it's to the Raiders. Yeah. It's the like Raiders did it.
It's now right? part of the fabric of their culture, just like it is to hate them.
In the DNA.
Yep.
The Broncos, right? Mm-hmm. You beat them with a blocked field goal. Then they house you in Week 18 where nobody plays, but they carry it as if it's a championship. That's piss and vinegar.
Yeah.
Buffalo loses in 13 seconds. Mahomes and Allen are hugging and crying in the field saying, hey, man, love you, buddy. Hey, see you next year. We'll do this again. That ain't a rivalry to me. Now they play back and forth. Plus,
we beat them every time.
And in the playoffs, it's not a rivalry because the Buffalo Bills never win.
Yeah, but they beat us every regular season.
In the regular season, it's not a rivalry because the Chiefs never win.
Yeah.
The Chiefs' only game I believe they are not favored this year is against Buffalo. Buffalo now is favored in every game this season.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that you have to keep it. But I think this is where, when we've had the debate all week with, like, who's the Chiefs' biggest rival, which is funny that it's full circle at the end of the week, this is where you could pump this back into existence. If you think it's the Raiders, play all that stuff, build it up.
There has to be that buy-in, though. Like, the reason the Raider rivalry was so
good
big,
at doing that.
But everybody, like, Andy isn't a buy-in to the rivalry guy like Marty was,
but
right?
But Andy doesn't have to do that.
Doesn't have to. But Marty did, and they bought into it, and they made the fans feel that way, right? And again, we can call Dana and ask him every day about the Raiders and how much he hates them to this day. It has to be a bought-in thing. Like, when we had Raider Week back in the day, you just knew it was different around Kansas City. Everybody knew the Raiders were coming up that week, right? We don't necessarily do that anymore because the Raiders have been to the playoffs two times, we said, since 2002.
Yeah.
And no wins since 2002. Like, a rivalry to me has got to be somebody that challenges you. The Raiders have been a nuisance, and we've had to waste time playing eight quarters against them for the last 20 years, every year. So that's how I kind of view the Raiders in this one. Like I said, it's generational rivalries versus at the moment rivalries. And I think the NFL likes to capitalize in at the moment, because you tell me what game is going to generate bigger numbers, Chiefs and Buffalo, or Chiefs and Raiders, right? Or Chiefs and Broncos. And it's always going to be Chiefs and Buffalo.
But again, that's ratings. It's not rivalry. Like, Chiefs and Buffalo, that's a good game. That's two good teams playing against each other that don't necessarily hate each other. The fan bases might, but the rivalry between the Chiefs and Broncos, like, you could play that blocked field goal for an entire week straight, and by the time you got to Sunday, both teams are ready to run through a wall and play again. Whereas, like, you can throw the 13-second game, like, it was a couple years ago. But, like, Broncos have always been there, from Vaseline on their jerseys, from Jake Plummer running a bootleg, from John Elway looking like a horse, to Peyton Manning running dominant in the four-year span. Like, I would pump in the veins of fan bases and be like, inside Kansas City, everybody knows, and Denver, they know that those two teams hate each other. But how many people outside know that? Well, here's a left-handed pass on fourth down with Von Miller trying to tackle you. Here is Dante Hall looking like the human joystick against a kickoff return. Oh, here's John Elway beating the Chiefs in the playoffs. Here's 97, the one seed against the four seed in Arrowhead, losing to Denver, and the franchise wins back-to-back titles. Neil Smith, who did the George Brett swing that wore the tape over his nose, left you, went and won two titles with your rival. Like, you could pump that into existence.
You absolutely could. The only problem is that Denver, up until this moment in time, has been a dead stick for the last decade. They haven't lived up to their end of the bargain.
They're coming.
And I think when you have a rivalry.
We got a glimpse of it.
We did. No, they, and again, all of this is cyclical.
Yes.
All of this changes, right? All of this constantly changes. And so if you're a team like the Broncos, you've been done for 10 years. You hold up your end of the bargain, then maybe we can have a conversation about this. But until Denver and Oakland show up to the party, they're a nuisance right now.
And the Broncos have won twice in 2 years. But he had the flu. But they didn't play their starters. You know, Denver, two wins, baby.
That's all they care about.
Hit it, Mac.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No.
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
All right, Mac, do your thing, Daddy.
One word on a...
Well, loud.
Yeah, there's the thing that I need to turn down. Wrong pot.
Hold on.
One word on a fryer. Okay, one word on this quote from Saquon.
Idiotic.
The quote from Saquon Barkley is, I think we're... This is on 2024 Eagles. I think we're a top five team of all time. One word.
Idiotic. You're not a top five team of all time.
All time.
All time is tough. Top five team in the last 10 years, 100%.
Sure, yes. Top five team last year, I'd give it to them.
I mean, they have the best roster in football.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't think they're a top five team of all time.
No.
Of this century?
And I was just going through like teams that I've seen play. I'm not even going back to the 72 Dolphins because that's a joke. The 99 Rams, the 2007 Patriots.
93 Cowboys, 94 Cowboys.
The 89 San Francisco 49ers, mm-hmm. The 90 Patriots. Giants. I said that, the 07 Patriots, 99 Rams. And I would put the 2019 Chiefs on that list. Our first Super Bowl championship team, I still think, is the best overall team.
My one word would be premature.
Do pump it for an extended period of time, bro.
Was that a fake photo that Madden covered is going to be him doing the hurdle backwards?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't see that.
I saw a cover of Madden 2026, and it was him doing the hurdle. Yeah. Everybody else is like black and gray, and then he's in the actual color.
That's cool.
I could be wrong, though. Think smarter, not harder. Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean?
You don't have to make it a QB every year. One word on this, the MLB, this is from Codify Baseball. This is the 2025 playoff chances. Mm-hmm. The Royals sit at 50% chance to make the playoffs. One word on the Royals' chances, being a coin toss.
Low. I think based on everything that I'm looking at in baseball right now, the Royals are one of your better teams. To only have a 50% chance of making it in the playoffs seems very low.
It's fine. I'm okay with that. They have a 50-50 shot. You're the only other team in your division that has an actual highest percentage outside of Detroit, who I think is like 94%. That's what happens when you win 33 games in your first 50. It's pretty sick. You're the best team in baseball. 50% chance going into June almost. You're going to tell me it's heads or tails, you're getting in the playoffs? I'll take that. I'm okay.
Yeah, 98% for the Dodgers, 96 Yankees, 94 Tigers, like you said, and then 89 Phillies.
Yeah, and then the other team in the division is below us, right? It's Guardians,
37%. Yeah. Sizable difference.
What is
there.
The Twins?
They're not on the list.
They're not on the list.
Nope. Nope.
White Sox is
negative.
You got the Astros, 51%.
Yeah, good for them.
Right over the Royals. One word on this audio.
Hudson lifts his left leg and comes home with a 3-0. Caxton's a line drive. A rocket out to right. And that one's out of here. The first AAA home run for the Royals' top prospect. Jack Caglione circles the bases, and the Chasers are back tied 3-3 in the top of the fifth.
First bomb in AAA, baby.
Drawing a blank on the name of Brockmire. That's my first.
Great show for one season.
For one season. And then it really went downhill. Brockmire. That's my one word for that.
I'll have to look that up.
Futuristic. It's coming. It's coming. Before you know it, it is going to be here. Our boss once told me in this room that Buffalo is going to blow the Chiefs out in the AFC Championship game. My boss once told me to my face in his office, Dusty, I love the CAG stuff, but you do realize he will not be here until 2026. Steven Spector, future is on the rise. Jack Caglione will be here by the end of June. Mark my words.
Bob, are you there with him? You've been pretty set on 2026, but obviously new developments.
I think a lot depends on the trade market. I think a lot depends on what he does. I mean, MJ hit a home run last night, too. So
he did.
MJ's got 22, 6'5", 250 with a good culture of attitude.
Absolutely. We'll just let him tell us when he's ready to come up here, and then he'll come up.
Cody and Gold had Jim Callis on yesterday. MLB Pipeline.
And one of those on my hand once, a callus. It was awful after shoveling. Ugh.
He talked about Caglione. He thinks he may be ready too. Here's some audio. One word.
Yeah, and that's interesting. You know, Pete's, they're both Florida Gators. I think, we're talking offensively, so I get it. I mean, he's obviously a left-handed hitter. I think he's a better hitter than Pete. I mean, I'll go along with the power. I think he's a better hitter and a better athlete than Pete Alonso. So I guess I'm saying that he's.
Wow.
I think he probably winds up being better than Pete Alonso, or at least has If I had to guess, I would say, and I really like Pete Alonso. I think he's probably going to be a better player than Pete Alonso when all is said and done.
All right, let's go. I'll take that right now. You just give me Pete Alonso right now, I'm in. The question I keep having for everybody is, where's Vinny going to play when this is all said and done? Because I do think Cags will probably be your first baseman. They'll get him acclimated in the outfield. Okay. He's 6'5", yeah, 225. Like, that does not scream outfielder to me, right?
No.
What's Aaron Judge?
That's fair. 6'7".
Aaron Judge is taller, right?
Two or three inches taller.
And he's got really good speed, too. I don't think enough people value Aaron Judge's speed out there. But for me, I would prefer Cags at first, but that's just me.
He's play outfield. You got nobody in right field right now that can play that position any better than he can, right? I mean, he's playing right field. He's playing left field. Yes, he's playing first base, but that's because there are people in the AAA system that can play that position better, but they will still keep him out there. He played flawless in the outfield for five straight games in front of the people that matter. Vinny will be just fine. He'll play first base and DH, and then when he does DH, Sal will play first and Jack will play right, because honestly, you play the position that you need to play that needs the most help, and you save a bat by having to trade a pitcher. So one word to describe his comparison to Pete Alonso: better. Horny. Look at Pete Alonso's first year as a rookie, 48 or 49 home runs. They went to the same high school. You know what else went to the same high school is Jack Caglione and Pete Alonso? Kyle Schwarber.
Oh, wow.
HB plant, baby. You think they know how to hit out there?
I know that I'm hard.
Better believe it.
I just saw that Angel Reese documentary that you told me to watch last night.
Yeah, he wasn't wrong, was he?
I mean, that's like watching middle school basketball.
Yes.
It's middle school.
It is.
It is middle school basketball. Doing? Somebody trying to play hero ball who should not be playing hero ball. She's going to wear on her teammates really fast playing that style of basketball. I mean, you got people open calling for the ball.
Yeah. Hey, hello, hello. You got four defenders around
you. Yeah, she has three defenders around her, and that means there's multiple open people on the floor, and it's just
doesn't care.
No regard. Not even looking to do what's best for the team.
Last, our bald king, Dan Quinn, had this message for Salisbury graduates. One word on this.
Steak.
Which leads me back to where we started and the four words I wish I was told when I was in your chair. And now I live by. So, ladies and gentlemen of Salisbury University's class of 2025, let it rip.
One word on our guy, Dan Quinn.
Well, I think he should do a better bleep job on that, but
epic.
Yeah, I think that's really good. It'll allow somebody to have fun at the graduation instead of being all stuffy shirts, which is going to be my Richard of the week.
Oh,
a little tease there.
Oh, we had a great graduation episode.
My Richard of the week will be something that hits close to home. Coming up on the other side, we get to the out of left field question. Who was the first athlete that you went goo goo gaga over? 913-586-7965. First athlete that you ever went goo goo gaga over or that just blew you away. 913-586-9765. That is the number. 913-586-7965. You listen to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
A little bit of a stat correction. I got a name wrong when I mentioned the high school that Caglione comes from. HB Plant High School. It's in Tampa Bay.
HB Plant. I like that. Right. It's Robert's school.
So these are the players. Pete Alonso. Jack Caglione. Kyle Tucker. And you guys might know this guy's Wade Boggs.
Oh, Wade Boggs is the Wade Boggs.
And behind the curtain, because I remember he told us that when we went down to Springfield, and I looked at him and immediately just said, "Jack, you think that story of Wade Boggs with the beer is true?" And he looks, goes, "Oh yeah, it's 100% true." He goes, "He'd come down to the high school and coach." He'd say, just standing like third base or first base and just a beer gut.
Oh, I can imagine Wade. Yeah. Wade's beer gut. But Wade great. Played in those days, man, where like you would sit around the clubhouse and drink beer after the game. And like Roberto Hernandez is the last true player that I remember. After every game, he'd take one of those styrofoam cups and fill it with like an ice cold beer. And it always smelled just good. Mm. Like sometimes a good like Miller Lite just hits at the right time, you know. Mm-hmm. And after a game, he'd have that in a big styrofoam cup with that foam on top. I'm like, damn, this guy's living the dream right now, making $8 million a year or whatever it is to blow saves and drink a nice cold brew after the game.
Yeah, when it's hot as piss outside, there's nothing better than a beer on ice.
On ice. They call that the Jersey Shore cocktail, right? Because everybody puts it on ice. And that's the way I always do it now when I drink like a light beer, because first of all, they're never cold enough for me. I like extremely cold drinks, but that water melts and it gives you, you know, your rehydration also. So yeah, but you're right. In a styrofoam cup, ice, and a light beer, man, that just hits.
That's your tunage for the out of left field question. Brought to you by nobody, but somebody could step up. 913-586-7965. We asked the question on the other side. Who was the first athlete that you ever went goo goo gaga over? / what athlete did you get jacked up for? Because Caglione last night hit his first home run in Triple A Omaha. Bob, who was the first one?
Probably either Don Mattingly or Lawrence Taylor for me.
Okay. Those are pretty solid numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lawrence Taylor is just different than everybody else. Nobody will ever be as good as Lawrence Taylor. I mean, it's just, I've never seen somebody not show up to training camp, didn't even tell the team if he was going to show up, and then run out of the tunnel and play her introductions and go out and have four sacks. Mm-hmm. There was a game in 1989 that Lawrence Taylor played in against the New Orleans Saints. It's one of the greatest performances in NFL history. Go watch the YouTube video. Separated shoulder in that game and still had multiple sacks and powered the Giants to a win. Nobody better than Lawrence Taylor. So I'll go Lawrence Taylor.
Mac, you got an athlete that just did it for you?
Anthony Edwards, is that your guy?
Yeah, exactly. Luka Doncic? I would say Michael Vick, probably.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, that's probably my first one. Dante Hall up there, too, but I think Michael Vick.
Yeah, because you never got to play Madden 04, did you?
I mean, I have, but not when it was.
I got it at the house if you want it.
Dude, yes, let's go.
Oh, I would play you as the Falcons. You wouldn't beat it.
No, I probably wouldn't.
Guaranteed. Four verts. Got Warwick Dunn underneath, and I can dumb it to you if you try to blitz, or I'll just do a spin move, and then it's 97 speed.
You know what he would do with that game? He put Kyle Pitts in that game for Michael Vick.
Exactly right.
Well,
the
you
catch
had
radius.
Well, back then you had Algie Crumpler who walks.
Oh, he was supposed to be the next two. Yeah.
He walks so Kyle Pitts could run.
Yeah.
This one's kind of tough for me because as a kid, I was brought up to really follow Johnny Damon. Baseball family. Dad was an advocate baseball guy. We got Johnny Damon's autograph one day. He came out with
and
his kids.
And once you get that autograph, you're like, you're hooked, you know?
Oh, yeah. I had like his generic baseball card. It was like Johnny Damon's first year as a Royal. It wasn't a rookie or anything like that. And I'll never forget.
Like the ones the Police Athletic League passed out, one of those type of baseball cards.
The backs that say no to drugs. Didn't work out as Royal or for me on the back of the card. But I remember we got his autograph after a game one day because my dad back then kind of knew where to go and how to be polite about it. And Damon's walking out and he's got a stroller with two kids in it. That's how old this is. Those kids are now probably like 26, 30 or whatever they are.
Probably in their 30s.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that.
Oh, exactly. And my dad's like, hey, man, thanks for, you know, putting Kansas City to represent
Johnny
all that.
Johnny Damon's got kids in their 30s.
Guaranteed. I'll never forget that day. And he signed a baseball and he signed a hat and we went on and I just didn't say a word the rest of the trip. Damon was that guy, man.
Wait, the rest of the trip? So you were at an away game?
Well, I mean, home. Okay. Like, for me, it was a trip to drive from Blue Springs to Coffin when you're 7. Like, are we there yet? My dad's like, it's a 15-minute drive.
It's like, literally, you're going to Burger King.
He's like, one day, this stadium will be a lot further, kid.
Yeah. Well, from Lee's Summit, I don't know. Like, Overland Park may be closer than the sports complex for you now.
Yeah, it's like 12 minutes. I take 350 through Raytown, and I'm right there off of whatever it is. Manchester traffic. I don't know what it is. I have terrible directions. Text line, a lot of people are saying Bo Jackson. I get it.
Because he was unique. He was different. He was a guy for me too. I remember my sister's pretty good at art. She painted this whole mural of Bo Jackson for me in the White Sox uniform because I copied the baseball card. I love Bo Jackson until I met him.
Leo Messi from the 816, Clyde Drexler from the 816.
Ooh, Clyde the Glide.
Absolutely. Smooth. LeBron James from the 620.
LeBron James.
Dr. J from the 702. Oh, wow. Damn, you got some age range here.
I love it.
Yeah, yeah, no great. Doubt. Somebody says Muggsy Bogues in 816.
That's a cool name. That's a good cool one, because I think, and I don't know if you guys obviously were, because I'm much older, but Muggsy Bogues was one of those players during my childhood you looked at and you're like, that guy can play. He gave you like a little inspiration.
Yeah, a little
hope.
That's cool.
Somebody says Patrick Mahomes. I'll never forget watching him shred the Steelers on the road for 6 touchdowns. That was the moment when I knew Pat was going to be something special. From the 785, Joaquin Soria.
Soria, wow. The first go-around.
This is also an athlete of mine who was there as well. King Griffey Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Somebody
How
says,
could he not be on everybody's list no matter what generation you are? He's the perfect baseball player.
He was a vibe, man.
He really was, yeah. He really was,
he
man.
Had the video game, the swing, the shoes, the hat backwards, the home
the
run
upper
derbies.
Deck card that everybody wanted, his rookie card.
816, minus LaDainian Tomlinson in 2006 when he scored 32 touchdowns in a season. Couldn't believe what I was seeing before that. It was Lance Armstrong, but we all never mind. We know what he ended up being.
You know, I saw Lance Armstrong win his final Tour de France in person. Happened to be there that day with my parents in Paris and saw him win the final Tour de France. Total accident, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was the coolest sporting event ever. Like, wow, that's Lance Armstrong winning his final tour. And then we found out he's a douche, too.
From the 816, Mike Sweeney. Praise be, baby. Yep.
How could you not be infatuated with him, man? Like, Mike Sweeney was so different on those ball clubs. As bad as they were, Mike Sweeney was like a 330 hitter every... And that guy carried the weight of the city. I mean, like, that guy wanted to win for Kansas City maybe more than anybody.
Yeah, that guy's cool.
Best dude in the world, man.
Because one of the things about our job, this goes back to the ALDS last year. One thing about our job is we're not supposed to like take pictures with athletes or people like that. You just don't do that. It's not professional. And Sweeney was
I lost that a long time ago.
Sweeney was like, come over here, Dusty, real quick. Let's take a picture. And sent to a mutual friend we had.
Yeah.
And one of the PR ladies like, is everything? And he just goes, we're fine. We're okay.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right. All right. I got Sweeney Dog on my back. Yeah. Spud Webb, Priest Holmes, Kirby Puckett, Miguel Cabrera.
Kirby Puckett's on my list, too. It's
Priest Holmes,
one,
Doc Gooden, Freddie Patek.
Freddie Patek's a good one. Love my man, Freddie.
The biggest, smallest man there was.
Shout out, Freddie. Freddie Patek from Seguin, Texas, where I had my first job. So we got that in common. I love working with Freddie Patek. One of my favorite people to work with. He
that
was great.
That is the out of left field question. Shout out, Freddie Patek.
Guy had the smallest hands, but the hardest handshake you would ever have, man. I love Freddie. He's the best.
Good dude. Family friend, actually, of the Likens family, to be honest with you.
Is he? Good. Yeah. He's awesome.
I was at K when he got inducted to the Hall of Fame as a very little boy. I'm pretty sure I was told, I don't know if it's true, that I was in the backseat of the car.
Oh.
I don't
remember. Like in the wheel well back there? People used to ride in the window?
In the red car when he's doing the wave. Apparently, I don't know if that's true, though. That's what they told me.
Oh, you were like in his car.
That's right.
Oh, that's cool.
Again, I don't know when he went to the Rose Hall of Fame. It might have been like 1990, awesome. 1991. I was just a little dude, but apparently
I love it.
My grandpa and he were like very close friends. They played in a golf league at Bent Oak Golf Course in Oak Grove at the time, no longer there anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, apparently they played golf all the time, and then we went to his Hall of Fame ceremony, and I saw him a couple of years ago, but he was with his family, so I didn't bother him, and I don't know if he'd even remember who I was. But yeah.
Freddie's one of the best human beings of all time. Love that guy. No shout out, Freddie. Hope you're doing well, my man.
Coming up on the other side, we will have the Savannah Bananas, Director of Baseball Operations, in studio as they play this weekend at the K, the Savannah Bananas. We get bananas on the other side here at 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Matt Quatrero, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.